This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
The fallout with Florida State not making the college football playoffs continues. Florida State is called for a special board of trustees meeting for Friday morning and probably looking at, do they want to stay in the ACC? Jerome Bettis joining us, the Hall of Fame running back. And won a Super Bowl, six Pro Bowls, and 10th overall pick by the Rams out of Notre Dame back in 1993. Bussy, good to have you back on. I want to play something that your former quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, had to say, talking about the Steeler tradition, then I'll get your reaction to this. Here's Ben Roethlisberger.
I felt that certain guys on the team aren't in it for the team, they're in it for themselves. Well, now some of the guys on the team are saying the same thing.
Yeah.
So maybe I wasn't too far off when I said that, but
like a little football
I know
prophet.
That I'm retired. I just don't, you know, I'm not in the locker room. I get it. But it just feels like that. It just feels like that's something that's kind of been lost on this team a little bit. It feels like the Steeler way is just not – there just wasn't that Steeler tradition passed down. And I just – you have it on defense. Don't get me wrong. But you don't have it on offense right now. And it's just making it really hard. You're not seeing, in my opinion, the toughness on offense. But I just feel like people aren't afraid to play the Pittsburgh Steelers anymore for whatever, you know, whatever that is. But maybe the tradition of – the Pittsburgh Steelers is done. Maybe it needs to be formed a new kind of way. I don't know.
It's Ben Roethlisberger, his football and podcast. All right, Jerome, what do you think Ben is getting at?
Well, I think he's getting at the fact that, for one, they haven't needed a quarterback for the last, 14, 15 years, whatever it was, he was there. So there was a lot of continuity between kind of eras, if you will. So for I don't necessarily agree with that. I think they don't have the leadership on offense. You got a lot of young guys on offense trying to find their way, and that's what you're seeing. It's not that it's not the Steeler way. It's gone. It's just that you just don't have the consistency offensively, and that's what you're seeing out there. And that's the problem. The leadership, unfortunately, got a young quarterback. If he's not in the game, then obviously who's leading the way, from an offensive line perspective. You don't have those personalities that's stepping up and saying, hey, I'm going to be a leader of this offense. I'm going to push us forward. And then obviously you have the wide receiver issues that you're hearing about publicly. And so what happens is you just don't have the leadership on offense. On defense, you do. And you heard Ben talk about the leadership on defense. You just don't have it on offense, and I think that's what they're missing.
Okay, how would you feel if you were the running back for the Steelers and your wide receiver, George Pickens, is not blocking anybody on a run where you can score a touchdown and the guy he's supposed to be blocking ends up with the tackle? What would you say?
I would pull him to the side and say, come on, man, listen, we all in this together. If you want me to block that linebacker when it's a blitz so he can get the ball to you, I want you to do the same for me. So you want to you want to express to them the importance of, you know, each and every play, right? And so, yeah, you can come down on him in the media, but I promise you that's not going to turn his switch on. It's going to be you putting your arm around him and saying, hey, man, listen, we all in this together. And if you look good, we all look good. If you look bad, we all look bad. That's the bottom line. I think that's part of the leadership that's missing. You just don't have that guy to say, hey, man, come here. Listen,
yeah, but here's the deal. What's Mike Tomlin's role in all of this? You're saying the players got to be accountable.
So, it's a fine line. The head coach, it's hard for him to be the buddy too, right? So he's got to be the heavy in this particular role. You need someone internally in that locker room that can pull him aside and say, listen, man, I'm in the same boat that you're in. I'm with you. And so the head coach can't necessarily play that role. That's why you need that strong leader offensively that can pull him aside and say, look, man, we all getting hammered here. So here's the deal. We all got to put more effort in. We all have to do this. And the key word is we. And when you don't have that person saying we, that's where it falls apart.
You know, I started to think about running backs when I knew you were going to be on, that at some point it's going to be hard to quantify who's a Hall of Famer, because it's probably going to be more about receptions than it's going to be about yards. Like Christian McCaffrey, is he a Hall of Famer?
Wow. It's, you know what? That's a tough one. Early in his career, unfortunately he didn't put up the same numbers that he's putting up now. Obviously injury and that kind of thing. So with him, you got to look at longevity. You got to look at, you know, will he be able to do this for 10, 12 years? So that we can look at his body of work and say, absolutely.
Okay. But who's playing now that you think is going to the Hall of Fame at running back? Is Derrick Henry a Hall of Famer right now?
He still has to do more. I think everybody still has to do more. That's the thing. It's not a clear science one. I can promise you that. So that's part of the issue. But you also have to lead your team from a successful standpoint. Now, you know, he's made some, I think, AFC championship games or something like that. So that bodes well for him. So that's part of all of that they look at. So, for me to say, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer, I'd be doing the Hall of Famer disservice. If I said he's not, I'd be doing the player disservice. So I just think they're on the road. If they have to just continue with that success for a long period of time.
But they're not going to get to 12,000 rushing yards. That's just not going to happen anymore. And it used to be if you got to 10,000, you got into the Hall of Fame. And I don't know if we go back to maybe that number, that's the magical number, and you throw in, you know, yards from scrimmage with receptions.
Yeah, here's how we have to look at it. You see the receivers, the goal line has been moved. And I say that because I've got a guy who's his goal line has been moved in Hines Ward. He played in an era where we ran the football, right? But he was one of the best in that era. He did it all. And then at the end of his era, the goal line moved because the goal post moved, rather, because now you got all these guys, you know, catching 115, 120 balls a year. Well, he was in an era where when you caught 85 balls a year, that put you at the top of the league. So now his numbers are skewed because he kind of was in both of those eras. So I think what you look at with the running back is going to be a different era in terms of the numbers. So you're going to look at it a different way, and you're going to look at those numbers a different way because you know it is a passing era.
Hines Ward is a Hall of Famer. And you know what I would do if I'm Mike Tomlin? I ask Hines Ward to come in to teach my wide receivers how to be tough and be multidimensional, not just come out there. What is it about diva receivers in Pittsburgh uniform? I'm like, what's going on here? That's not a diva town.
It's not. It's a blue-collar town with people who love to roll their sleeves up and go to work. So, yeah, that is – it's an issue. It's a concern. But, you know, that's one of those – because you don't have that guy to say, hey, man, listen, you know, get your ass in gear. Let's go, man.
Bring in Hines Ward. That's it. Just bring him in. Or just show video of Hines Ward and just say, that's all you got to show.
That's what I would do. No doubt about it.
Did Hines ever hit you accidentally?
He hit me all the time. We always had to. We had a little thing we would do that, you know, about touchdowns, whoever scored the touchdown, right? And so we would yell, no, no, if he was going in or if I was going in. And it was the funniest thing because everybody thought we hated each other, but it was this little thing that we used to do, trying to beat each other to touchdown. So there was maybe a time or two where he said he was trying to help push me in the end zone. He was just giving me a shot.
He's Jerome Bettis. By the way, Jerome has a blue and gold golf classic that takes place in the Hamptons next May 20th and 21st. So the event benefits Notre Dame Endowment and the Bus Stops Here Foundation. More information, blueandgoldclassic.com. Would you have switched positions coming into the NFL? If you were coming out of Notre Dame now, would you be drafted high as a running back?
Wow, that's a great – I don't think so. Well, I think I would be drafted, but no, not the 10th pick in the draft like I have been, because I think right now you have to be so dynamic catching the football. I think that becomes part of your DNA. It has to be. And when you look at the guys who've been drafted high – That's a big part of what they do. So I think when we look at Christian McCaffrey, he's kind of identified what the new running back should look like, right? What he should be, what characteristics he should have. But I will say this, what people don't really notice about Christian McCaffrey, and I've watched him ever since he was in Carolina, he's a really good inside runner. I watched him when he was at Stanford. And so a lot of people think because of his size that, you know, he's a really good in between the tackles runner. And I think that's what you have to be to play in the NFL. You can't be a guy that plays on the edge. You've got to be a guy who is a downhill in between the tackle guy in order to have that kind of success. You don't have to be the biggest guy in the world, but you've got to know how to work your way on the football field in between the tackles.
And I thought that hurt Reggie Bush, that he wasn't a, you know, between the tackles kind of running back. And McCaffrey's built different than Reggie Bush, but Reggie wasn't a between the tackles running back.
That's right. And in the NFL, the difference here is in college, you're faster than, you know, a lot of the guys on the edge, because a lot of those guys won't make it to the NFL, right? Well, in the NFL, every guy deserves to be there, and every guy has that talent. So you're not gonna outrun somebody to the edge, to the corner. You gotta go inside to get outside, and that's what the running backs in the NFL. That's the biggest difference from college to pro. You have to learn. You have to run inside to get outside. If you don't do that, it won't ever happen. You got to be able to make a guy miss. And I think when you look at the great running backs, they've always had the ability to make a guy miss, because the guy is going to be where he's supposed to be. That's the NFL. These guys are on defense. They're talented. They're disciplined. So they're going to be there. Is you've got to be able to make a miss. And so I think when you look at Christian McCaffrey, he does that exceptionally well. Or you got to be able to run him over like Derrick Henry.
Do you still have a beef with anybody that cheap shotted you?
No, I don't. I don't. I had, you know, my group of guys. There was some, you know, a guy here. It was a guy for the Chargers who I was always after. A couple of guys from the Titans that I was always after. But
give me a name. Give me a name.
No. I'm not gonna do it. I turned you try to take me back to the dark side. No, I have turned that chapter.
Okay. All right. So,
but I tell you what,
yeah.
if I saw him on the street, I would do a double take. Like, do I go in and give a forearm shiver, or?
I like that. Bus told me one time a couple of years ago that he could actually hear a guy kind of whimper when he ran into him, a defensive player, right?
Yes, that was fun because obviously you don't get that many opportunities.
Wait, but how
right?
did it sound when you run into this defensive player?
You see him and you're breaking their will, so you can kind of hear it. It's like, and it's just a long like hurt that you can kind of feel. And when you look them in the eyes, then they don't want to look at you. That's when you know you have broken their will. And you don't even have to worry about that guy anymore. You know, he's going to make it look like he's trying to dive, yeah. but he's diving straight to the ground. He wants you to jump over.
We bring up your run against Brian Urlacher. Whenever we see Urlacher, we always bring up the Jerome Bettis run. And he's like, oh, why are you going to bring that up? We bring up when Tom Brady, shifted, kind of deked him there. And then we always bring up you running over Urlacher.
Yeah, he is. He's pissed off about that to this day. But what I tell him that, hey, think about this. We exchanged shoes after the game. So he has the shoes that ran him over. So how many guys in the history of the game have the actual shoes from the guy that ran you over? You can say, you know what? These are the shoes.
But what's weird is when he lies down to go to sleep, he puts those shoes on his chest because that's what he remembers about you running him over.
Well, he knows where they fit. He's got to kind of knows where to put them, right?
Wait, why didn't you exchange?
He's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. You know that, right?
Why? No, he's not because we saw what happened on the football field. But why didn't you exchange jerseys? Did you ever do that when you played?
You know what? I did a little bit, not a whole lot. It was hard for me to get the jersey off, so so I wasn't doing much exchanging from that standpoint. So the shoes were the right thing to do. And what I did was, a lot of guys do the jerseys, and so I thought so much of Brian that I went into their locker room afterwards out of respect for him. And wanted to exchange the shoes because I felt that there was some things that are special. You can get a jersey from a guy, but when you get somebody's shoes, it means something and it shows something. So I wanted to do something a little different. So I'll exchange different things with different people.
I'm sure Urlacher saw you coming into the locker room. It's like, you're the last guy he wants to see coming in. How about you send him a Christmas card? Not, hey, Brian, here's the shoes I ran you over with.
The key is to immediately get right back in there and make them feel good so that they don't hate you. So the longer you go without that connection, they get madder and madder, right? They get more pissed off. So I was glad I diffused it early.
But you never did this with you didn't do this with Ray Lewis, did you?
No, absolutely not. The Ravens. I would not be caught dead in that locker room, I tell you that. But,
well, no, you might be caught dead in that locker room.
That's right. I would be dead if I was in the locker room. I promise you that. But I will say this about Ray Lewis. We have become great friends. And we were friends then. We just were friends that really didn't speak to each other. but we have become great friends. Since our time on the field.
Great to talk to you as always. Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for joining us, boss.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
That's Jerome Bettis, Hall of Fame running back. More in his golf tournament, blueandgoldclassic.com.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBC Premier League festive features. Well, it's going to be a massive matchup of the top of the table. It's Liverpool and Arsenal. NBC and streaming on Peacock. If you're watching on Peacock, thank you for downloading the app. We say good morning to our radio affiliates around the country. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio. We'll talk to Marcus Spears, a big swagoo, will join us coming up here momentarily. A couple of phone calls. And Russell in Vegas joining us. Hey, Russ, what's on your mind today?
I'm doing great, guys. Merry Christmas and happy holidays. First time, long time. 5'10", a hard 190. Hand size 9.5. Old school. And I'm also a member of the DDC.
All right.
And the reason for my phone call is I actually had a bone to pick.
Oh.
And my bone to pick is, ever since I found out that the Super Bowl was going to be here in Las Vegas, I sent a barrage of phone calls and emails to your location to find out how I can make your trip a little more pleasurable when you get here.
Okay.
And I've got zero response. I even reached out to the big German after you guys came back from Ireland.
Okay.
So this is what I had in mind.
Right.
This is going to be rapid fire. This guy's coming at you hard, coming at you fast.
Okay,
for Pauly, I want to get him on the ice and get a body check from one of our professional hockey players. Seton, I want him to shoot a 50-caliber machine gun and get a tattoo of the Las Vegas sign. Fritzy, I want him to test his vocal skills out at the Mega Karaoke that just opened up at the Venetian and go to the Brad Garrett's Comedy Shop to get some free lessons. And Marv, we're going to do something special with you. What we're going to do is we're going to do the Stratosphere Fall. It's only 880 feet. And you can also go to the Pinball Museum. No large hands are required for either one of these.
Okay.
And for Dan, take you to the best steakhouse that just opened up here, Oscar's, and one of the best cigar lounges. For the BRGs, we can go ahead and take some test track runs on the race car track out here.
Are you setting all these things up, Russell, or are you just suggesting them?
I was trying to. I mean, I had all these ideas popping through my head. As soon as I knew the best show in town was coming to my town.
Okay. All right. Russell, stay on hold, and Tyler will get your information, and hopefully somebody – yes, yes.
I thought there was a lot to do in Vegas. He just added a whole bunch of other things we didn't even think of.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
Fun.
Yeah, maybe we'll reach out and see if Russell can help us when we go to Las Vegas. Yes, Paul?
Can he help Todd stay in his hotel and watch Dateline for 7 hours?
He doesn't need any help.
I don't need any help.
Back to you.
Don't need any help.
I'm a professional stayer in the hotel.
Yes, you are. Yes, Seton.
I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but Russell seemed pretty upset. Like he had called and emailed dozens, if not hundreds of times, mm-hmm. and then finally got through and was like, hello, I'm just trying to do something with you guys. I don't know. Maybe there's a red flag there. Just throwing it out.
Ooh, stage five clinger?
Well, it was a little like, why are you not responding to my stalking? It's kind of the way it felt to me.
That's,
I don't want to be around guns with the fellas, all I'm saying.
Transition to Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst, former defensive end, and member of NFL Live every weekday from 4 to 5. He's got to put up with Dan Orlovsky. He gets the pleasure of working with Laura Rutledge, Mina Kimes, and Ryan Clark. And the big Swagoo joins us on the program. Are the Rams threatening?
Hey, Dan.
Hey. Hey, buddy.
They are. They are, man. They are. The way Matthew Stafford is playing right now, offensively, this team. The eye-opener for me was against Baltimore and what they were able to do against that defense and the type of plays that they were able to make. And obviously, we know getting Cooper Kupp back was huge. Was a huge infusion of juice for this offense. And I love the running back, Kyren Williams, who I think is one of the most underrated players in this year. So, they fixed a lot of things. I think Sean McVay coaching has come to the forefront. Last year was just so bad, man. Injuries, not having a lot of your key pieces. But this year he's showing why he was regarded as one of the better, not only offensive minds, but head coaches in the league.
This time of the year, you get those teams that it's not the playoffs, but they're playing like it's the playoffs. Like every game, you know, Buffalo's got to win out.
Yeah.
Now, granted, they're a big favorite against the Chargers. The Bengals and Steelers, you know, there's a lot attached to that as well. Speaking of the Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger had some critical things to say about the Steeler way offensively. Yeah. Maybe it's not there anymore. You know, when you start to point the finger of blame here, does it start at Mike Tomlin that you can have the Steeler way on defense but not have it on offense? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it starts with Mike. And, you know, obviously he's one of my favorite people because I know him personally, but it starts with him. He knows that I don't hold any punches when it comes to that. You see some of the undisciplined things, some of the lack of effort things, and obviously we coming right off of the George Pickens not doing a damn thing on the block that could have potentially turned into a touchdown for them against the Colts. But I think Mike will tell you himself it always starts with him. You know, offensively, the offensive coordinator job, I think that was held on too long. You could have made this transition way earlier. You saw that that wasn't going anywhere. I think for as much as they get paid, DP, you're damn right we're going to start with them when we see problems with the team, and that's who it goes to. And then that doesn't absolve these grown players from not, you know, doing the minimal. Sometimes you just get beat. Sometimes you play teams that are better. But we've seen now this from Deontay Johnson. We saw this from George Pickens. We heard Najee Harris talk about be down and dejected about what they were doing offensively. So this feels like a holistic problem. And we were talking about it yesterday on NFL Live and realizing that this is also the second youngest offense in the NFL. So it's not a lot of leadership on that side of the ball, or not that calming presence that you would probably look for, or even the presence to challenge people when they're not doing their job. Like, I was fortunate to be around a lot of veterans in Dallas, a lot of dudes that would challenge you, call you out, and it made me a better pro. So I think it is more on Mike T to get that specific unit doing what they need to do.
How often does the defense take offense when the offense isn't playing well and say something to the offense, or maybe vice versa? How often does that happen, do you think, in a locker room?
It doesn't happen when they playing bad, because it's you know that they're trying to have success. The difference is when you see effort. Like, the difference is when you see physicality. And I think that's what TJ and obviously Cam and Minka Fitzpatrick, when you look at the leaders of this team, they're not going to go get into the intricate details of why we can't run the football or why we don't have a bunch of yards offensively. But when you see, again, example, George Pickens not making a block, and then you couple that with the fact that we're not having a lot of success offensively, and we haven't had a lot of success throughout the year, that's when you go over as a defensive guy and be like, man, what the hell wrong with y'all?
Yeah.
Though, look, what you saw, DP, is the that is what happens before players only meetings. Those type of things are what give the validity to saying, hey, we kicking the coaches out, and the coaches have to do their job. But accountability in the NFL and any good team that I've ever been a part of, the players took more accountability than having a coach have to say something about it.
Is Sean McDermott coaching for his job?
I think this last little resurgence, no. It's a crazy league, though, DP. We know how crazy it is, man.
If they don't make the playoffs?
If they don't make the playoffs, it's going to be a real conversation about if he's the guy going forward. I really believe that. And that because of the tremendous amount of success that Buffalo has had playoff-wise, and Josh Allen has played really, really well, even though, you know, the firing of offensive coordinator, the firing of a defensive coordinator, or the leave of absence of Leslie Frazier. I think if this team doesn't go to the playoffs, and I talked about it earlier this year, is that the NFL now is about windows. And if yours is open, you better try to make it happen. You better at least get there, right? Like, if they miss the playoffs, think about this, DP. If the Buffalo Bills miss the playoffs, we are removed 2 years away from saying this was one of the best teams, if not the best team in football. And now you suffer injuries with Matt Milano. You got Tre'Davious Wright injuries as well. You look at the offensive side. Stephon Diggs has been up and down about his excitement or enjoyment about being there. Joe Brady is the best thing that happened to this team in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Because he's calling an offense that doesn't put everything on Josh, and some of those have translated into wins. I hate to say it, but I think so. Now it would still be surprising, DP, if they fire Sean McDermott, to me. But it wouldn't be something that I'm like, that there's no basis for that. It would just be to change direction and change course and hopefully get you over the top.
He's Marcus Spears. You can see him Monday through Friday, NFL Live at 4 Eastern with Laura Rutledge, Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky, and Ryan Clark. When you were with the Cowboys, how aware are you when you go out? Like everything you do when you're a Cowboy in that town as opposed to some other place that you played?
Yeah, it's crazy. I bet it's not as bad, DP, as like a Green Bay or a Buffalo.
Okay.
Right? Because of the vicinity. But there's a lure to being a Cowboy, man. Like, I still eat free around here. I still get people calling me to do stuff. I still make money off the fact that I play for the Cowboys. So it's one of those things where, look, this city was the second city I lived in my entire life. Right. I grew up in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, was there all the way throughout college and got drafted, obviously, in Dallas. So this is home for me, beyond Baton Rouge, which is my heart and my home where I learned everything. But this city has been absolutely amazing. Now, obviously, the perks come with the fact that you were drafted by the Cowboys and people recognize you and they want to be a part and attached. But you ain't like Troy Aikman on Monday Night Football. That got something to do with the Dallas Cowboys. I'm on ESPN. That got something to do with playing for the Dallas Cowboys. It's not just about local. Like, the local people love us and they tell us every chance they get. But the national presence that you have when you play for the Cowboys as well is, I think, second to none. I mean, we all over the media. That ain't no coincidence, DP.
No.
Okay.
No.
You think from your career that you played for the Dallas Cowboys. To be honest, like all of the success that you had, think you played for the Cowboys.
Yeah. Backup tight end. I was there for a few years. Yeah. And a backup punter as
and
well.
A punter. Yeah.
I want you to tell me what Tua is referring to. Marvin, if we could play Tua Tagovailoa.
I keep receipts. We all have a way of how we do things, but like all the narratives about it, I am only good with Tyreek, and you're right. That is the only time I'm at my best. You're right. I'm only good when Jalen's in. I could care less about it. Like, sure. If Jalen and those guys aren't out, like, I'm only as good as Raheem Mostert allows me to be. Like, that's what the narrative needs to be. And we're able to win games and we're able to go where we want to go as a team, I am the worst football player, if that's what you want. Like, I don't care. Like, I really don't.
I like that he cares. He says he doesn't care, but he cares.
Yeah, tremendous.
Okay, does he have a legitimate gripe here?
No. I mean, I think if see, DP, we always got to separate. I don't want to even say fans and people that actually watch the game in detail. Tua can play. Tua is a really good quarterback, very accurate, great with ball placement. The narrative about his arm strength, I never bought into it because I saw him play at Alabama and I saw him throw beautiful deep passes down the field. I think the narrative on Tua is, with all of this talent surrounding you, are you going, or where do you fall in that order? This same conversation that I have about Brock Purdy, right? Everybody thinks that you mad or you hating or you can't, don't think these dudes can play when you have a legitimate argument around them. Like, DP, honestly, when you walk into the stadium and you're about to play the Miami Dolphins, who the hell do you think the defensive plan starts with?
Tyreek.
It starts with Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Like, that is the narrative that's starting to make all of these quarterbacks think, or people in general think, that if you don't say that they the best quarterback, or that it's like they can't play at all. Like Brock Purdy, I was on Get Up the other day. Brock Purdy is playing out of his mind. He's absolutely elevated what this San Francisco 49ers team can do. That ain't the first person you think about when you walk in the stadium and you're playing against the 49ers. Like, you got to understand, when I come from a defensive perspective, I come from a perspective of sitting in a facility for 5 days a week, game planning on who do we have to make sure we take care of if we're going to have the best chance to win this game. You know who people saying that is for the 49ers? Christian McCaffrey. Just like people saying Tyreek Hill is the guy for the Miami Dolphins. So when do you get to Tua, right? When I go to Baltimore, Lamar Jackson is first on that list. When I go to Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes is first on that list. When I go to Buffalo, Josh Allen, the first person you got to take care of. When you go to Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers would have killed us if he wasn't the first person we had to decide that we were going to take care of. So that is how I determine when you start talking about quarterbacks.
Okay, but who's your MVP then?
My MVP is Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah, like I have, because first of all, DP, I have a flaw, okay? This is my, I got to admit it. My flaw
is. You got one, okay.
I got one, just one.
Okay.
We all got to have one.
Yeah, sure.
You know, Lamar Jackson, to me, is in a rare category. If it's not for Patrick Mahomes, and you can also put Josh Allen in this category, it should have been a revolving door around those three for league MVP, right? Because when I think of most valuable, Aaron Rodgers, obviously, in that, and he won them, so I omitted him because he won two of them. DP, tell me who's been more valuable to their team outside of Patrick Mahomes is the only argument, and obviously we talk about Aaron Rodgers, but he won them. Who's been more valuable to their team outside of Lamar Jackson?
Yeah, I've said for a while now that no team asks more of their quarterback than Baltimore does with Lamar Jackson. Oh.
And you got people that will argue Buffalo, and they got a legitimate argument.
But see, but he already won his MVP. And you know how this goes in the media. We'd love to have a new story.
We want to move on.
That's why we're trying to get Dak in there, Brock Purdy in there, yeah. You know, even yeah. Tyreek Hill, McCaffrey in there.
And it's not just us, DP. They do it in basketball. LeBron should have won at least two more MVPs in basketball. So look, Brock Purdy numbers, what he's done, absolutely should be in the MVP conversation. And I got him too, because you just can't deny the
Well,
success.
What if he looks great on Monday night against the Ravens and Lamar Jackson?
Then you're moving past Lamar Jackson.
Okay. But if Lamar wins that game.
In a win. He has to win the game.
Yeah. If Lamar wins that game, then all of a sudden he's your favorite.
Yeah, because if Lamar is my favorite now, but if Lamar wins that game, I guarantee you he's going to be who we walk away saying was the best player on the field. If San Francisco wins it, we ain't going to walk away saying Brock Purdy was the best player on the field. All right. I love you.
Thank you.
People get mad at me for that, man. I have watched Brock Purdy snap after snap after snap. I'm not like Dan. I haven't seen every snap, Dan Orlovsky, but I've seen enough to know how much he's impacting the success of this football team. My only thing is this. When you didn't have two guys, you went 0-3 and averaged 17 points a game. Lamar Jackson lost Mark Andrews. They rolling. All right. He's lost offensive linemen. They rolling. He just lost his explosive running back.
Yeah.
He's still going to roll. We don't have that same type of sentiment, you know. So, hey, now, last part on this MVP conversation. If Josh Allen didn't throw so many interceptions, he'd probably be the leader in the clubhouse.
They have to make the playoffs. Thank you for coming on this year. We appreciate it. You know, Merry Christmas to you, man.
Merry Christmas to you, brother. Send me some steaks. I don't know if we're going to be able to do meat
Friday. No, come up. Just if you don't do it now, do it in the off-season.
Where are you? Where are you again? Tell me again.
I'm about an hour from Bristol.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do meat Friday. Friday hard, man, because I'm always home.
I'm like 20 minutes from Orlovsky.
Oh, that's why you don't like him.
Why?
Because you're too close to him. He gets on your nerves.
No, I just like guys who play the position really well.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Yeah, well, we the same in that regard.
Thank you, Marcus. That's Marcus Spears. We'll take a break. We're back after this.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
NBA fans, listen up. You got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is really simple. Select a player who will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using the promo code DPSHOW and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with the promo code DPSHOW, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Final hour in this Thursday. Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. 24 hours from now, the tension will be very high on this program. We will hand out most valuable, least valuable, most improved, least improved Danette because of your voting. Go to danpatrick.com. Over 50,000 votes have been cast so far. And from what I'm being told by Mario, who counts the votes, two races may already be done. Does anybody think they won one of the categories here? Todd, what category do you think you might win tomorrow?
Least improved.
Least improved.
I'm going to go with least improved.
Okay. Paulie?
I think I'm going to get least improved in a close race over Todd.
Okay. Seton, what category do you think you'll win or could win tomorrow?
Probably least valuable.
Marvin, what about you?
That's not my thoughts on it. I just think that's what the... Of course. If there was undervalued Danette Award, I would win that every year.
Undervalued.
Oh, yeah.
Undervalued.
Undervalued Danette.
All right. Maybe a new category for next year. Marvin, what about you? What category do you think you might win? Fans voting.
I'm going to go least improved.
Because you were the most improved last year?
Like, look, somebody's got to win it.
This is it.
Yeah.
I mean, this is as good as it's going to get right here.
It's the ceiling.
Okay. Yeah, Paul.
I guarantee Marv's winning most improved tomorrow. I can almost guarantee it.
Okay.
I'm willing to bet a pie to the face. Not on that. Oh. On the most valuable.
Well, hold on here. Okay. Now you got my attention. Most valuable, Danette, you're willing to bet a pie on this.
I am.
Okay. What is it?
I'm going to go... Drum roll. Seton O'Connor.
For
most valuable Danette for this one reason.
Okay.
Crappensburg State.
Oh.
That could hurt. Gotta admit, that could hurt.
Or it could help you get.
Yeah. It could help. It could also hurt.
It's a crapshoot.
Oh. Okay. Yo. Bloop. Okay. Bloop.
Sorry, Todd.
I like that people like send us their reasoning on social media for this stuff, where they're like, they're taking it really seriously, and they're like, I don't know. Look, normally I'm a Seton guy, but, you know, this year, Marvin, he came up with the cookout playlist. I mean, that was huge. You know, they're like giving you real stuff.
It's really serious. It's really serious. All right, so Marvin says, does anybody want to take Marvin up on that bet that he says Seton will be the most valuable Danette? Seton?
I could take that bet.
Okay. You get the field. You can either take, if you're siding with Marvin, then you got Seton, or you could have the field. Well, Seton is betting against, are you betting against yourself?
I won't even take the field. I'll just say that I'm not getting it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, all right. I guess we got to get a pie tomorrow because somebody will get a pie to the face.
Let's go.
Final half hour.
Oh, wait.
What?
Tomorrow it's cold out there.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry. How about a hot apple pie?
Warm you up?
Yeah. Not a hot apple pie, like a warm apple pie. Yeah, warm apple pie. Right out of the oven, right to your face.
I'll just take the regular.
The whipped cream, like blueberry, something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. All righty. Final hour of the program. Poll question for the final hour, Seton. We're going to go with something different than we had in hour two.
Let me update you, Dan.
All right.
Let's see. More important to college football, we have high school recruiting or the transfer portal. That's holding at about 61% transfer portal.
Okay.
That's pretty interesting.
All right.
We're also just putting up there, in 10 years, who will be considered the better center? Nikola Jokic or Joel Embiid?
Mm-hmm.
You want to guess?
I'm going to say Joker 57%.
Wow, that's interesting. It won't let me see the results.
Oh.
It just says, thank you. We have already counted your vote, so apparently it's keeping it a secret. I'll let you guys know who won in 10 years.
All right. Thank you. All right. Say good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Thank you for downloading the app. Jim Harbaugh, more likely or less likely to go to the NFL? And if I said you could, if you're the Chargers, hire Bill Belichick or Jim Harbaugh, who would you take? Andy Staples, who covers college football, will join us here in a moment. Let's see. Saints and the Rams, that'll be coming up tonight. The Rams are giving 4. You also have the Boca Raton bowl game at South Florida and Syracuse. The Clippers have won 9 in a row. You excited? Anybody?
That's a great sign, though.
I guess.
9?
I guess.
I love it for everybody. It's a great sign. But.
Yeah, I guess. Lakers, what are they, 1-4 since they won the in-season tournament? So, they peaked already. Their season peaked. They lost to the Bulls last night. How do you lose to the Bulls? Yeah. Joel Embiid put up 51 last night. So, since the start of he goes to the line more than anybody. Joel Embiid shoots 14 free throws Now he's up to 16 free throws. That he's averaged that against the Timberwolves. Most free throws per game by any player against any opponent in the last couple of years. He goes to the line, and he's a really good free throw shooter as well. He shoots 89%. Remember when, you know, it'd be like, oh, big men, you know, I understand why they can't shoot. You know, Shaq, he can't shoot because he's a big man. His hands are too big. No, no, no. You just have to learn how to shoot and have touch. And Embiid has wonderful form and wonderful touch. Yes, Marvin.
Yeah, and he's got an underrated, like, mid-range game, too. Yeah. Dribbled through his legs a couple times. I mean, he's so complete, but I think you're right. Joker with the title, he could go off for another title. He'll definitely be the guy in 10 years.
Andy Staples covers college football for On3 Sports. He'll be at the Rose Bowl with Michigan and Alabama, and also the national title game as well. Andy, thanks for joining us. Good morning. I'm curious, what's the difference in pay, the going rate for a valuable player in the transfer portal and then a really valuable high school recruit?
Well, it depends, and I think the transfer is more expensive now. I think the transfer, a transfer quarterback who's going to make a difference, a transfer defensive tackle, offensive lineman, you could be into seven figures, low seven figures. I think only the very top of the high school quarterback market reaches that level. Other than that, it's lower, and the transfers have become more expensive than the high school players as they've gone on because the coaches realize, okay, these guys are making business decisions. They're here. They want to get to the NFL. The high school players are more of a crapshoot.
Would you rather win National Signing Day or Transfer Portal Day?
At this point, I'd still rather win National Signing Day, and I'll tell you why. I don't think you can get the quality big guys unless you get them out of high school. We had Kirby Smart on my show yesterday, and he just keeps winning at Georgia. Because when you look at, like, he brought in double-digit offensive and defensive linemen out of the high school ranks. These guys are monsters. They're like 6'7", 370 pounds, 6'7", 345. Like, I don't even know how humans have gotten this big. But these are monsters who can move. And you know what? They may not all start at Georgia. Some of them may transfer out and go play somewhere else. But the ones who succeed, who beat out all the other ones that they already have and start at Georgia, are probably going to be better than everybody else's. And that's why they keep winning.
We brought this up yesterday, just sort of speculation, or maybe the possibility, hypothetical. Could you see Kirby Smart wanting to coach the Atlanta Falcons?
I was getting New England Patriots because he comes off the Saban tree, which is effectively the Belichick tree. I don't see it. He's a South Georgia guy, but I think he's good where he is. He knows that one of the things he's really good at is recruiting, is evaluating, doing what he did yesterday, getting that number one signing class. I've never gotten the sense that he has that itch to coach in the NFL. I think he likes where he's at. But when you mention it, I kind of like that. I think Patriots more than Falcons.
Okay.
Though I cannot imagine the culture shock of him trying to live in New England versus living in Georgia.
Give me the programs you think overachieved yesterday.
Well, I think Oregon did really well. Dan Lanning continues to build that roster in a really good way for the Big Ten. And it started with Mario Cristobal when he was the head coach there, where he got them better on the lines of scrimmage, because Oregon was always getting good skill talent going back to Mike Bellotti and Chip Kelly. But they really needed to get better in the trenches. And I think Mario left, but Dan Lanning continued that. They got an edge rusher out of Tucson. His last name is Rushing. So it's a perfectly aptly named. But they've done really well with that. But they also have mixed in the transfer portal as well, because that's one of those where they haven't had a ready-made roster each year where they've had that many great classes stacked on top of each other. So they do a good job of mixing them both up. Florida State lost their biggest recruit to Georgia, but if you look at it, they actually have a deeper, more quality class than they've had in about 10 years. And that's something, when Jimbo Fisher left, it was kind of a mess. And I was wondering how long it was going to take to get back to signing classes like that. Well, Mike Norvell did a lot of good work in the transfer portal, obviously has had great success the last 2 years. And now the high school players are saying, you know what? I see the vision here, and I want to jump on. So it was kind of negative for them yesterday because of the one guy they lost to Georgia, which was a safety from Buford, Georgia. But I think overall, they're on an upward trajectory.
Let me go back to Oregon. How much of their collective is just Nike money?
I think a lot of it. But, you know, however it works. And the thing about Nike that has to they have to be a little careful with is Nike does business with all these schools. So you can't just build up Oregon. That's what I keep telling people. And everybody's like, oh, Oregon would just buy all the best players. Well, you know who that would piss off? Georgia, Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State, who also do business with Nike.
We're talking to Andy Staples. He covers college football for On3 Sports. Arch Manning's situation at Texas and how much of that is dependent on Quinn Ewers coming back.
Well, I think he's going to be the backup there. And I never got the sense from Arch that it was a play immediately kind of thing, or even a play within the first 2 years as the starter kind of thing. He's the backup right now. If Quinn Ewers decides to stay, I think the plan would be for Arch to take over. And the other thing is, Quinn Ewers has been knocked out each of the last two seasons for multiple games. So if you're backing up Quinn Ewers, there's a very good chance you're going to be the starter at some point. And Dan, I know you've met a lot of quarterbacks. You know how they think. Once I'm in there, I ain't giving it back.
The NCAA and Jim Harbaugh, where are we?
So this is essentially the Jim Tressel case from 12 years ago. The only thing that's changed is everything else around it. Because basically what they got from Harbaugh on is not telling the truth to the NCAA. They call this Cheeseburger Gate at Michigan. And basically what happened was during COVID, there were some recruits. One of them was committed to Michigan already. They drove to campus on their own dime, just wanted to look around. But schools were not supposed to have any recruits on campus, whether they were unofficial visits, official, didn't matter. You weren't supposed to have anybody at that time. And so Jim Harbaugh goes and meets them at a restaurant. And when the NCAA asks about this, he says, I don't recall. They hand him a receipt. Do you recall now? I don't recall. And so they're saying he was providing misleading information to the investigators, which is exactly what they got Jim Tressel for. The difference is in 2011, Ohio State forced Jim Tressel out because people were still like, oh my goodness, he committed an NCAA violation. And now we're like, who cares? Michigan's thing is, we're more worried about Jim Harbaugh going to the NFL. We would like to keep him. But here's the interesting part. Remember, they were going to do a negotiated, basically a plea bargain, where Jim Harbaugh was going to be suspended for four games. That got rejected by the Committee on Infractions. Michigan then self-imposed three games. So we already know they want more than four games as a suspension. And I don't think they're going to tack on those three that he got for the Connor Stallion signal stealing stuff at the end of the season. I don't think that gets tacked on because that's a separate NCAA investigation. So, yeah, I think there's more suspension coming from the NCAA once all this gets settled. But Michigan's not going to cave and fire him, I don't think, the way Ohio State caved and fired Jim Tressel.
Okay, but is Harbaugh now more likely to try to go to the NFL again than sit around and wait for these, you know, whatever sanctions are going to happen or penalties?
I think he's going to try to go to the NFL anyway, Dan, because I think he's wanted to. I think there's still an itch there. And remember, he was a really good NFL
coach.
Okay,
but what is holding this up with Harbaugh?
Well, he's the NFL team's wanting to hire him.
But he's a proven talent. Why would you take Arthur Smith when you could have Jim Harbaugh? Why would you take Matt Rhule when you could have Jim Harbaugh?
Ask Ziggy Wilf. He could have had Jim Harbaugh.
Well, I do like that coach.
Yeah, I do too.
I think
Kevin O'Connell's a great coach.
Yes, yes. I understand but there are a lot of other coaches that are pedestrian.
Well, and that's the thing. I think there could be jobs where Jim Harbaugh would be a good fit. Like if Chicago fires Matt Eberflus, I mean, you put Jim Harbaugh there with a number one draft pick quarterback, assuming, I know the Panthers won the other day, so I don't know. The Bears pick is still number one for now. If the Panthers go on a winning streak, we'll see about that. But you got the Bears. You got the Chargers job is open. You want Jim Harbaugh working with Justin Herbert? Yeah, that'd probably be a pretty good thing. So I think,
how about this?
If you're an NFL owner, you need to think about it.
The Chargers, you can have Bill Belichick or Jim Harbaugh.
Ooh. I'm worried about Belichick. Belichick non-Brady is a scary thought. And the question with I have with Belichick, and actually it's a question I'd ask with Harbaugh too, because he's coming from the college ranks where you have full personnel control. Belichick, the GM, worries me more than Belichick, the coach. So I'm not sure how I, because I think both those guys are going to want very tight personnel control. I think I might go Harbaugh to work just to work with Herbert.
There was a report yesterday that there's still NFL chatter about Lincoln Riley. Can you?
Why?
I don't know. I don't know if he had a good or bad day yesterday, but I don't know if Lincoln Riley, he was pretty desirable, you know, when the season started, I would think, for NFL teams, but you think that's cooled off?
I think he's still desirable as an offensive tactician. You know, what happened yesterday is really irrelevant in terms of the NFL, because whether Lincoln Riley can recruit or not doesn't matter in the NFL. It's how does he scheme up that offense, but also how willing is he to work with his defensive coordinator to put a good defense on the field. I think that is the bigger concern, whether it's the NFL or college football. Lincoln Riley has yet to show that he can have a program that has a good defense, that he can practice in a way that allows the defense to also get what it needs, that he can hire a defensive coordinator who can put a dominant defense on the field. Those are all things that Lincoln Riley needs to prove. And those would be issues in the NFL, and they are issues at USC right now.
Great to talk to you, Andy. Happy holidays to you and the family, and thanks for joining us as always.
Thank you, Dan.
That's Andy Staples at On Three Sports. Yeah, the talk about Lincoln Riley, that came out of meetings in Dallas. Jordan Schultz of Bleacher Report had that, where Lincoln Riley was at least a conversation with some of these owners or NFL people looking at who could be one of the next head coaches in the NFL.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.